Good evening and welcome to the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors meeting for May 23rd, 2007. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
President Hill?
Here.
Vice President Brookout?
Here.
Director Dahl?
Here.
Director Dean?
Here.
Director Mann?
Here.
Please join us in the flag salute.
Ready? Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Brings us to item number three, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items that are not on the agenda tonight. We will have separate public comment on each item that is on the agenda, but if you'd like to address the board on something that isn't on the agenda already, please feel free at this time. Barbara?
Good evening, President Hill, board members. I'm Barbara Carey, and tonight I'm wearing my Oceano Community Center hat. I'm just making a few announcements. Our summer schedule has been sent home with all the LUCMR students, and also they're available at the center. The really big thing that's happening is we're having a Horace Grant basketball camp from the 25th through the 28th.
Barbara?
I just wanted to say I noticed that State Parks has put a couple of benches in down at the end of Pier Avenue for people to sit on. That had been one of the things people had asked for, and they are there, and I've seen people sitting on them.
Very good. Pamela?
I just wanted to respond to Mary Lucy's comment last week about she was asking why curbs, gutters, and sidewalks did not appear on our board goals. And it did go on our agenda of things. It didn't make the cut. However, goal setting is one of our most important things we do here. And I'd like to ask that maybe next year we televise the goal setting meeting, as many people cannot come. They don't know where the board members stand or how we come up with these goals or what the goals are. And I think it might be a good idea just to televise these next year. It is the most important thing we do, where we spend money. And people need to see what we're doing up here. So the other thing I wanted to mention is tonight we have an item 8C, which is about water. And I feel this is one of the most important things you need to know about here tonight. So stay tuned. We'll be talking about it later. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Bill.
Not at this time.
I have none at this time either. Brings us to item number five, review and approval of the minutes from May 9th, 2007.
President Hill, you have a request from Board Member Dean to add a sentence to the minutes on page 2, item 4. At the end of the sentence, you'd like to have added, "and to cover your loads." It was referring to the litter problem. And she further states that 70% of all litter comes from uncovered loads, and certainly would suggest you make that correction to the minutes and then approve them.
A good suggestion. I've noticed stuff blowing out of the back of pickup trucks, and also I've had encounters with uncovered loads and lost windshields and things to that.
I'm not sure if it's still the status, because Alex could correct me or not, but I think I read once that the only two things that you could legally throw out of a moving vehicle was clear water and chicken feathers.
That's correct. The reason for the chicken feathers is because
you can't keep them on the chickens.
Well, yeah, a lot of the chicken trucks carry them in open crates. Yeah. And a little tidbit on that side is when they deliver a load of chickens, they always take a few live chickens back with them in order to be able to stay within that law. that you can't tell whether those feathers came off of live chickens or out of dirty cages.
I'll file that in the category of you learn something new every day.
I feel so enlightened with that one.
Happy to help out.
We've had our educational segment.
Chance to use it.
Okay, are there any other comments or questions on the minutes from the board? Any comment or questions on the minutes from the public? Okay, hearing none, I'll look for a motion.
I move that we approve the minutes.
Until hopefully Mike will return. Item 7B is award of contract for weed abatement. Consideration of the general manager's recommendation to approve the proposal of Protech Landscape and Maintenance, Nick Stevenson, and direct staff to proceed with procuring weed abatement services for 2007. Arnie, would you like to tell us about that?
Yes,
Hill, members of the board, your district advertised for requests for proposals for the 2007 weed abatement program. As of the May 16th deadline, there was only one proposal submitted, and that is the same person who has done the weed abatement process for the last couple of years. So I recommend that your board, following any discussion or comment, approve the proposal of Protech Landscape and Maintenance and give direction to the general manager to proceed with procuring weed abatement services for the current year.
Okay. Any comment or questions from the board?
Is this the same rate as last year?
I wasn't here last year, so I'm not sure. It was the only rate we received, and I don't know if
Gina remembers.
Looking at the contract here, it looks very reasonable.
It looks close.
Okay.
Other comment or questions? Comment or questions from the public on this item? Okay, hearing none. Do we have a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the weed abatement for Protech Landscape and Maintenance.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the proposal from Protech Landscape and Maintenance and direct the general manager to proceed with procuring the weed abatement services. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Vice President Brookout?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Brings us to item number 8A. This is the continuing inspection of district sewer and water lines, cleaning and inspection following the San Simeon earthquake. The board is required at every regular meeting, as long as this item is ongoing, to continue to approve it by a four-fifths vote. I think we're all pretty well familiar with it. Is any comment or question from the public on this item? Hearing none.
I move that we keep the cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines.
Sewer, that's emergency. I second that.
Okay, that's
the emergency.
It's been moved and seconded that we continue the declaration of emergency related to cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines following the San Simeon earthquake. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Brookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item number 8B, proposed notice of intention and management program relating to stormwater. This is consideration of the public generally exception.
The problem with the public generally exception is if you read it carefully, it applies only to cities.
Only to cities. That's convenient.
Yeah.
Then I'm out.
Yeah. I think this is a real close question as to whether either Ms. Dean or Mr. Bookout is disqualified. If they decided not to disqualify themselves, I couldn't give them a blanket absolution, but I'd be very surprised if a problem ever rose on it. I certainly understand them wanting to disqualify themselves out of an extra measure of caution, but I think it's a close issue.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to speak to a couple of the issues. So maybe I'll just stay in.
But we have no choice but to do this.
You are required by the state to do this. That is correct.
So then why would Pamela especially have to recuse her?
Well, that's not the test under the under the regulations.
We'll move that storm drain a few feet away.
That would be then your choice if you wanted to address from the podium or stay.
I suppose I can address it from the podium. I'll take it with me.
Okay. Might be the prudent way to go.
Yes. I'll be back.
That's not recusing yourself. Does it make a difference?
This is an indirect conflict. It's not directly involved in a transaction she's associated with. So she can recuse herself and speak to the issue because it doesn't directly affect her property.
Mm-hmm. Jeff.
But it does affect Bill's?
No, I think I think they're in precisely the same situation. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that having been considered, Arnie, would you like to tell us more?
I'll try to. Okay. What you have before you is the information concerning the proposed filing of a notice of intent to comply with the terms of the general permit for small municipal separate storm sewer systems. That's an East Coast term. We call them storm drains in California. The California Regional Water Quality Control Board notified the district in August of 2006 of the need to file the above-noted grant. And I would remind you that we are under a little bit of pressure from that agency to get this process completed. Staff has directed the personnel from Gehring Taylor & Associates, our district consulting engineers, to prepare the proposed notice of intent and stormwater management plan. Adoption of these will bring the district into compliance with the requirements of the California Regional Water Quality Control Board. You have a copy of the proposed stormwater management plan before you. The plan recognizes that the stormwater control issues are actually delegated to the County of San Luis Obispo. The Oceano Community Services District does not have the power to enforce drainage. The only area of responsibility for the district is in relation to the two drainage facilities owned and operated by the district, 21st and Wilmar, and the one here near the district headquarters. Staff would recommend. Director Dahl reminds us all that at some point in time, I was asked to bring back the county representative for the presentation here, and fully had intended and was planning to do that, but immediately finding out that we were under some sort of threat of possible fine, I directed my attention to getting this document before you so that you could see it, and I still think it would be a good idea to get that presentation done at a board meeting, and we would be happy to do that.
Have you contacted them about that yet?
No.
Okay, so we don't have any kind of possible date?
No.
Okay.
Well, we do need to take care of this, though, promptly.
Yeah, that was my first concern.
We don't need any more fines.
Just to get us out of a situation where we're being threatened with more financial issues.
Right. I guess my only questions are on the best management practices, which is on page 8 of the proposal, table 1. 3.1 and 3.2 talk about hazardous material spill protection training programs and spill prevention response programs. And I see that they're planned for year number 2 and year number 3, respectively, which would be 2008 and 2009 in this management plan. I just wonder if we could move those forward at all, or if that would really take that long.
The issue, I think, will be, as you can see there, we're talking about distributing county-developed materials.
Okay.
And we could certainly move our process along, but I'm not certain that they will or can.
Okay, so this is in line with the county's response to the same.
We're modeling and actually mirroring, I guess would be the more appropriate term, their efforts. Our response will be when they come in with the county prepared materials to distribute, that we make them available and distribute them.
Good.
Well, we will have later on a little bit greater involvement in the training of our personnel that's required. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, the initial start off is fairly mild for us.
Okay. Is there any comment or question from the public on this item? Pamela.
Pamela Dean Oceano. I had a couple of, I think, corrections. On page 2, there is, let's see, it's a large paragraph in the middle of the page. It should say, and or pollutant load than pre-development runoff in the same area, I think, instead.
Let me catch up with you here.
Okay, page 2.
What line?
The very
page
last
two,
line in the large sentence.
Next to the last line in the big paragraph in the center.
Start the sentence for me, Mrs.
As a result of these two changes, okay. The runoff leaving a developed urban area may be significantly greater in volume, velocity, and or pollutant load than pre-development runoff in the same area.
So are you saying it's just a typo there?
Yeah, just a typo.
Okay.
And then on page 4...
Certainly check that out. I don't think it has a material effect on the adoption of the notice of intent. And
I
we can certainly make sure it's correct.
Yeah, I just don't think you can evaluate the effectiveness in reducing and preventing stormwater pollution this September 15th.
No, but because we are so late in this, there may be some requirement to file a document anyway.
Okay. And it looked like the best management practices are fairly vague, which is a good idea. Not knowing how this will pan out over time. So, okay.
Thank you.
That's it.
Thank you. And I note again that our year one commitment is pretty much to distribute county-supplied literature. So,
and I guess that's one thing we can ask the county staff when they come here is where they are in that process.
Right. Other public comment? Antonia?
I just heard that, you know, we only have 2 rain issues in the whole community of Oshano. And I'd like to ask a question. When are we going to get our gutters on all the streets here in Oshano? Because when it rains and it storms, I need a boat to get out of my house. And this lasts for weeks. So, you know, I like to have something done. You know, because they're always telling us about cutting our grass is dangerous and doing this, and you have to do that. The county requires, has a lot of requests from us to do. If not, we get fined. But we cannot fine the county when he's not doing his job. And I think that the streets belong to the county. And they should start working on these streets over here in Oceano, because I think that we have been paying a lot of tax for many years now, and the least we can do is get our gutters and sidewalks. I have asked for this every time, you know, that the gutters come out, and when it rains, it reminds me, and I come and remind you about it all the time, because even though I take my children to school, you know, every day in the car, walking out of the house just to the car, they get wet. And walking in from the car to the house, they're wet. Okay? And it's a very bad puddle that forms out in the street. One of the persons here told me one day, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to dig a hole and I'm going to put you a pipe. I says, no, because the county will sue me for putting a pipe without a permit. Because that's what happened. Anything they can get their hands on, they will do it, but then they will not turn around and do anything they're supposed to do. So I'm asking the county now, it's not you, the board, I'm asking the county straight out, fix our streets and put our gutters in. It's about time we pick up our town. Thank you.
Thank you, Antonia. That's something that I think the board can also forward that request to the Board of Supervisors, that they take a look at our street conditions and our drainage problems here and start to take a more active role in that. Any other public comment on this item?
Oh, that was quick. Someone makes good coffee here, so.
The benefit of coming to the meetings. Okay. We have next item 8C, an update from the general manager on issues relating to water.
Yes, you have before you what is really a summary report of our status relating to the Oceanic Community Services Districts and its ability to provide water service to our customers. This report is being developed as a result of numerous requests that we have had from individuals, from other government agencies, to purchase an allocation of water from the district's current supplies. First, you need to understand where our water originates and how that water is allocated to us. The district is fortunate in its forward thinking that we have three different allocations of water. These allocations differ in amounts, but more importantly, they differ in quality. The Oceanic Community Services District uses at present time approximately 1,000 acre-feet per year to serve the community. The district also provides water service to a subdivision located east of Arroyo Grande through a wheeling agreement. Projections for build-out, which is scheduled to occur around 2030, call for an anticipated demand of approximately 2,250 acre-feet per year. The three distinct sources of water are Lopez Lake, groundwater, and the State Water Project. Each source brings differing qualities of water, differing allocations, and differing attributes. First, Lopez Lake. The Oceano Community Service District is in partnership with a number of other entities to receive an allocation of water from this source. Our allocation of water from this source is 303 acre-feet per year. And in many years, we exceed the entitlement as surplus water becomes available for purchase. And all of the agencies, should surplus water be declared from the source, is eligible to purchase it on a first-come, first-served basis. Thus, the rules have changed in the last 15 years. This source is generally more reliable than other sources, as we're required to pay for our total allocation. The full allocation from this source is utilized plus any surplus that becomes available. The groundwater, since 2002, a formal agreement has been in place to allocate water from the ground. This agreement is called the Gentleman's Agreement and has no force of law at the present time, but is simply based on the goodwill of the parties. However, the goodwill of the parties has held, and it has worked for these many years. The parties involved... It allows for agricultural irrigation, subsurface outflow to the ocean, which prevents saltwater intrusion, and other urban uses. The premise behind this agreement has been to determine an appropriate safe yield, which is the amount of water that can be safely pumped from the basin without being received this Friday. The State Water Project, the Oceanic Community Services District, has purchased an allocation of water from the State Water Project. That's 750 acre-feet. Is the amount of that. This agreement is with the San Luis Obispo County Water Conservation and Flood Control District. For a lot of reasons, including drought, politics, and other issues, this is the least reliable source of water and is not intended to be lived upon. It is intended to be a supplement to use. The quality of the water is good, and it is about as expensive as any other source. In our unadopted water management plan, the engineers have projected that the state will, based on annual averages, be able to deliver 76% of the water from the state water allocations. Part of the reason for this is the pipe from Lopez Lake to the Oceano Community Service District is not large enough for full delivery. The annual average state water available for us is usually about 231 feet. Questions? I'm sure there are some.
Have you heard any more about the possibility of the state water really being cut because of the fish and the judge up north?
The fish and the judge up north is presently on a hold until the appropriate fish and game permits can be gathered to allow for the pumping to continue. If you remember, I said that one of the main reasons that we had to watch what we did with state water was politics, and this is it in its purest form. That particular judge placed an order of stop pumping. Stop pumping from state water would impact many places much worse than Oceano and be a devastation to the economy of the state. And it is certainly my opinion, both as a citizen and as a person working for you, that hole will be there until that permit is granted, and then the pumping will continue. It doesn't mean that some judge somewhere down the line can't do something equally as potentially damaging. I think the more likely concern that your staff would have with state water and its reliability is drought. Frankly, if the water isn't there to produce, then you can't get it. I think the rest of it is politics, and politics has a way of being ugly for a while and then sorting itself out.
Other comment or questions?
Yeah, what concerns me is the 76%. Does this mean that we're paying for more water than we can ever receive, or is there a way that this water is still delivered when we have years that we can get 100%, maybe by going into the behind the dam or somewhere else and pulled down at a later point in time, or what are we looking at here? Because if we're paying for more than what we can receive, and I realize from reading this is because of our lines and not state water lines.
Right. And only takes 76% of our water. Mm-hmm. If we take the full allocation from Lopez.
Okay. I guess then my basic question is the mechanics of it such that we are not able to receive our full allotment under the ideal conditions?
That's my understanding, but I'm not an engineer.
I think that's what we've been told in the past.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say it's time to start looking at reverse osmosis, water treatment, so we can start using water ourselves.
Remind the board that we are in a process with that, and we're working through the contractual arrangements at the present time. And I think our part of the cost of the studies that are going on is 15%. I think that's what we're paying as a part of it.
How soon before you think we can get an update on that, or there will be an update available for that?
There's a meeting to be held. Okay, Gina whispers in my ear that it's June 28th, a meeting amongst the parties to finalize the contractual arrangements. If you remember, there was an amount and an allocation set out for each agency to pay a part of, and then the cost for the proposals came in slightly higher than that, and we had to go back and tell them that we were willing to pay a couple of $1,000s more, which I did do that. And now they're supposed to be getting together, and Gina thinks it's June 28th, and I may have actually written it in my calendar. I don't know. Let me look.
Was Napomo involved in that? They weren't, were they?
No.
Not at this point.
In Sacramento, I talked with their general manager. I talked with two of their directors, and we sat down at a table, talked about desalination and the benefits that it could possibly bring for Napomo, and they mentioned that the Tosco refinery, they're able to, instead of going out to the ocean, they can drill down and pull water, well water, out of the Tosco refinery area, and possibly they're looking at possibly using that for their desalination. There's some sort of a brackish water down there, and a lot cheaper than bringing in from the ocean. But they should probably be at one point included in this because it's a big community.
I believe the issue with Napomo, and I'm doing this with a vague memory, was the fact that you would have to run the water from here to there with a big pipeline, which would be an additional cost that would preclude them from being a part of it. So that's.
And our desal, they were talking about using brackish water also, drilling wells in the beach using
yes.
brackish
mm-hmm.
water. My concern is we're talking about build-out and population here, and maybe the population is driving the need for the water, and maybe you work within your resources instead of not working within your resources. When you get to desal, it's going to be double what we pay for Lopez or State Water. You're going to be looking at $2,400 an acre foot, whereas State Water and Lopez are around. Whether we should be looking at those kinds of things, trying to work within our water budget, knowing that we're paying for State Water, all full bore State Water and Lopez Water, even if we don't get all of the State Water. It is an insurance policy. Mm-hmm. And it's a cheaper insurance policy than desal.
You know, when I drove up to Sacramento the other day, as I'm driving up, I'm looking at the valley and how the housing has grown in the valley just since the last time I was there. And it's getting bigger and bigger. And each time they put a house in the San Joaquin Valley, that's a percentage of that State Water that would be coming our way. And more, we're not just the only community growing. It's all across California. So I'm relying on State Water in the future at 76% or maybe 20%. Is what I'd be looking at in 10 to 15 years down the road. That's why I think we need to start looking for desalination.
Well, it don't matter whether we put in one more house or 100,000 more houses. We won't get one more drop of State Water than what we have, than what we're allowed right now.
And that's
in the future.
That could decrease.
And that could decrease, but no one else is able to buy into that either and allowed any more than what they're currently bought into when they bought into the State Water Project. If they to get more State Water, they either have to buy it from somebody else that has already bought it, and that would be from downstream of them, and or there would have to be another State Water Project. So the only other choice for the most part that we have down here is to look at desal. And it's important for us to continue to grow our water supply. And what happens at build-out, that doesn't mean that a town stops growing once they hit build-out. The state requires that you have to have in every community a certain amount of property available for development. And when all your open lots are developed, then you have to allow for that development to go up. So it's two-story, three-story, or on from there.
State must have not dealt with the Airport Land Use Commission.
The state often doesn't deal in reality at all, in my opinion.
So
I think we need to guard our water and not consider selling any water.
I look at these numbers, and I think, Pamela, I share some of your concerns. I see that we use approximately 1,000 acre-feet per year. Currently we get 303 acre feet from Lopez and the quote unquote supplemental State Water of 750 acre feet. That would just about make up our current use if we use all of that water. Then in 2030, which is 23 years from now, that's our build out, our anticipated usage more than doubles, which tells us something about the character of the community that is being proposed in the year 2030, that I think you correctly characterized that there's not that many vacant exceeds by about 400 acre feet in round numbers, all of our sources combined at this time. And again, this build out is projected to occur 23 years from now, a little less than that.
I can guarantee you that these projections are scientific wild guesses.
Probably a little less on the scientific and more on the wild guess.
I'm sure if 20 years someone had made a guess, they would be basing their water projections on 4-gallon flush toilets, which are no longer in existence many places anymore. They would be basing their projections on the type of agricultural irrigation that was going on 20 years ago as opposed to what's being done today. Technology solves some of these problems, and I, like you, do not share in the validity of those kind of numbers in terms of the population build-out. But I think you have to plan for the worst and be rejoicing when you get the best. And I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. The real question that we have before you, I think, is staff continuity gets questions from developers, other agencies, and whatever, about the utilization of some of our water allocation, because we have a valuable resource that we're not using all of, and we won't be using all of it for some period of time. And the question becomes, because some negotiations have gone on already, as to should we, and I'm going to use a different term, lease a part of our water allocation temporarily to someone as a way of generating revenue. That someone being the city of Arroyo Grande, who's most specifically interested in that. And I'm in a position, being new, that I don't know what our answer is. And that's part of what this report was about tonight, is do I spend my limited resource of time on working on some of these issues and negotiations, or do I simply say, no, the policy of the board is we're not doing anything right now. And that's what I'm kind of asking you for guidance on.
Well, I said how I felt. I want to keep our water. I don't want to sell it. Don't want to lease it. Don't want to give it away.
Leasing doesn't, though, mean that you are giving it away. It does give them the right to use it for a period of time. It could be a short period of time. It could be maybe they have the pipes to get additional water that we don't, that we can't use anyway. There are a lot of questions to answer, I think, before we can even go there. But in the past, leasing water for a short period of time, I think, would offset some of the cost to the people in this community who have had to absorb the Lopez water treatment and Lopez dam costs. And I'd like to see that happening. So I guess there are more questions to answer. One thing I did bring for everybody here and the people out in the audience tonight is LAFCO took some of the water management plan and put it into an easy-to-understand table. And I think this all relates to what we've been talking about. So I have extras of these if people want to.
Is that our water management plan? Or
you give them the water and you say at 5 years. And then what are you going to do in 5 years when nobody has any water to give those people? And you've been doing it for 5 years.
I'm not talking about giving it to a particular development. I'm talking about selling it to the city of Arroyo Grande so that it would go into their pipes. It would be piped into their system. It wouldn't be to a particular development.
If they're asking for extra water, I believe it is to accommodate some of these other growth issues.
For the time being, while they look for desal, I suppose, or other options, or maybe take some steps to conserve water. We didn't look at one of the things they didn't write into this was conservation. They didn't write into this projection any conservation kinds of things. So Arnie is saying, well, technology, things like that. We didn't talk about gray water. We didn't talk about taking water from your roofs when it's raining. There are a lot of options. I have my neighbors are putting water in gallon drums, 50-gallon drums from the rain off of their roof and then pumping it out for landscape water tertiary water is a possibility. There are lots of things. We don't have to keep getting more and more and more. And when I speak later about smart growth and that meeting we went to on Saturday, we're talking about greening and working within our resources and not using more and more and more.
I'm sure a number of these issues will be addressed when we when LAFCO once again does the update, which I believe is coming up soon. Every 5 years was done in three, almost there.
I guess I hear the term lease. I like your terminology. What my concern would be is, I think Barbara kind of hit on it, is that once you commit to sell a certain quantity of water for even a short period of time, do you give? I mean, is it possible to do that? Is it possible to say, okay, we're only going to sell for a particular period of time and then stop the sale? Or does there come with that some commitment to ongoing supply?
Yes, and I had anticipated that sort of question. I have a friend that I had worked with for a number of years who happens to be one of the best water attorneys in the whole state of California, probably knows more about water law than most anybody around. And because I could, I called him and asked him that specific question, and he referred me to a couple of court cases that if we get to the point of actually looking at this, we'll certainly have Alex look at those and make sure that we're on track here. But I was specifically, of course, concerned because I didn't know where we were, and still to this day not really quite sure where we are with the city of Arroyo Grande and the negotiations that have gone on before. I know that they're still very, very interested, and I've heard from them late this afternoon to that effect. I also heard from a private developer's attorney this afternoon to that effect. So there's interest out there.
To lease, sell, whatever, the water to those two little divisions that Arroyo Grande didn't want to serve, that we were not going to do this anymore.
We did make that.
The board said at that time we were not going to sell any more of our water.
Those were, as I understand it, though, permanent commitments for the future, rather than perhaps looking at it maybe even a 2-year time frame for a temporary.
Well, 2 year ain't going to make a difference to them. The only thing that's going to make a difference to them is them having water until we get desal, or they get desal up and running.
I know. I think there's another proposal or request sitting out there someplace, where another entity, developer, wants water from us. They're not right next to us, so you're skipping through. You're going through somebody to get to them. And where they're located, there is state water, but the jurisdiction doesn't want to use the state water for them. Mm-hmm. So good old Oceano will bypass a couple of jurisdictions to get this water to you, and I'm just dead set against it, folks.
That is one of the ones that called me this afternoon.
I know. He keeps coming back and saying, oh, somebody told me that they're going to give this to me. They're going to let me do this.
That is not my intent. It is not my intent to sell water permanently to anybody else. Lease is a good idea. 2 years is a good idea. Do it in 2-year increments. This is kind of standard in the water business that you do sell or lease your water for a period of time until you need it. I have a good water law attorney also. There are several around here, including in Santa Barbara and Fresno. You know, it's something we have an extra amount of right now. It could offset some of our bills. It could pay for some of the things we need to do in this community. And I don't see a problem in looking into it.
Is there a, when we talk lease, well, we haven't talked about how much money we could generate from this. Could we charge them $2,400 an acre foot?
Well, I guess the answer to that, Director Bookout, is you can charge them what they're willing to pay. And we don't know what that is. We don't know what we have to lease or sell at this point in time. That's one of the reasons I brought this question to you, is because, you know, I'm hearing out there, okay, we were negotiating with this. We've got the deal done, da-da-da-da-da. I don't know that. I don't see any documents. I don't see any notes where I know what's gone on. So I'm coming to you sort of in a very novice approach here. What do you want me to do? And, you know, I have people calling me all the time. I'm the only guy with a horse in the race, and nobody says go. So,
you know, this might be a nice little sample for us. If a desalination plant would cost us $2,400 an acre foot to produce, is that right? Roughly, well, whatever it costs to produce. Say it was $2,400. If we were able to charge that to our neighbor cities for our current water.
The gentleman's agreement is a strong example of that, something that through negotiations, and I can guarantee you because I sat and observed a lot of those political negotiations that went on, and it was never easy to get that gentleman's agreement worked out. And it's held, and it's been good. And I'm trying to figure out a way where we can bring money to this district at the same time, protect this district absolutely and totally from any future concerns. Mm-hmm. And if we can do that, then I would recommend to you with a clear mind and conscience the direction to go. But I need policy direction from the five of you as to where you want me to put my resources of the short period of time I have left here.
I think it is very important that we spend as much time as it takes to make sure that the long-term supply is safe for this district, and that there's no way that can come, or very little, as little possibility as has to be there as far as coming back and losing that water in time later on. Now, I don't want to lose any assets that this district has had the foresight to have for us here today because of an action that that this board should take. And if there is anything that goes sour on this, that we don't have attorney's bills on it and things like that in any kind of agreement that we may come up with. So that that if there's any time that any neighboring jurisdiction wants to try to hold on to water in that we don't no longer want to relinquish to them, that we're not sitting here in an expensive lawsuit. And I think it should be tied some way into the desal if we do anything like this, to where that there is some guarantees that there is future water supplies being developed. You know, PISMO and us, the boards that sat before us had the foresight to make sure that we have a water supply here at this point in time. I hope that that you know we see the example that Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande is sitting in right now, and the trouble that they're having, and as well as Napomo, because their previous boards did not have that foresight, and I would hate to see that this board to fall in that same area and not have the foresight to continue to develop water and to hold on to the water that we have.
I'm not hearing anyone saying that we should sell resources permanently. I think probably we should take public comment at this point and see how the public feels about it, and then maybe consider that and come up with perhaps a recommendation.
Underneath this, as you put into talking about desal, right, I bet you it would save us about 30% versus, you know, talking about desal. And I don't know if you guys know it, but you can't really drink that water. You know, maybe you've been to Mexico and, you know, high-tech filtration systems or something like that, but you still don't drink the water, you know. So that really bothers me that you don't talk about the extreme wealth of water we have under our feet in Oceano. But you still, you'll go down that desal costly failure road because it's sexy. You know, it's the thing about politics. If you're going to feel like you know what you're talking about in water, you're going to throw desal here and there. But I don't see anybody throwing any, maybe how to get the pump fixed over there in the yard. And I dare anybody to come to my house and say to my plants and my lawn, so what do you want, Lopez water or groundwater this week? Because, you know, my plants, the roadways, cleaning the cement, they don't care what kind of water they're cleaned with. You know, so we're not saying drink the groundwater. We're saying you have a lot of water underneath this town, and it's almost negligence not to explore it to the point that you want to explore, you know, another pipe dream like Nacimiento pipeline. You know, come on, you guys, you know, that was another wasted trip down a pipeline. But what I wanted to say was I smell a long pipeline in the air, and I smell a costly pipeline, and the pipe that is currently in its place is only producing 76%. So I feel this political campaign starting to build around maybe tacking a little bit money on our bill to do a study about maybe enlarging this pipe for 100% capacity versus 76% capacity. And trust me, I really do hope I'm wrong on that, but you know, just from the words I hear and things they stand up to and the emphasis on this pipe that can only produce 76% of Lopez Dam water into the area triggered me to say, you better get clarification because this one's going to bite us in the butt on the way down the road. So I do agree that the politics are involved and the wheels are spinning. Secondly, I'd ask, maybe third or fourth, I don't know, that I do remember Director Mann making, I think it was a motion that no more water be sold, although there was water given away, even though that motion passed, about 3 years ago, the water, you know, that past directors gave to Grover Beach in the gentleman's agreement or whatever agreement. But I would like to know, do you have President Hill or the staff, do you have the actual wordage put into the groundwater for the lawns? And, you know, I'm collecting water at my house too. You know, I pump my wash machine right on out to my peach tree. So, you know, think about it. I know you.
Thank you. Just one brief comment on that in response is that all the domestic water at the power plant is desal water. I drink that every day. It's beautiful water. The quality of that water is outstanding. For That is correct. The advantage that they have there is they have unlimited power to put into that, which we would not have, and it would be quite a bit more expensive for the district or another entity that didn't have a power plant to make that water.
That you guys have the high tech desal out there, but you know what? We have a lot of water underneath us. And we would only be able to produce the same quality that we already have here. You know, we're not going to get a nuclear power plant, desal plant. But you do have a lot of water already here that would probably cost you about 30% to pump versus building a sexy desal plant that'll be obsolete in 20.
Mm-hmm. Other public comment? Mark.
I disagree. Mark Wampler, Oceano. I believe that exploring the technology of desal plant would be good. And one of the advantages, I think, here in Oceano is that part of the component of a desal plant is you need to have a brine treatment facility as a part of that. Our sanitary district right here, our sewage treatment plant can be easily upgraded, from my understanding, to take care of the brine treatment problem. And fresh water all over the world right now is in a limited supply. Anywhere you go, fresh water is not an unlimited source. It is drying up. Times of drought will further prove that. So I believe we have the real estate here and the marketability. If we're the only ones that got the water through desal, if everybody else is drying up and we've got water through desal, then we have a very valuable commodity. I favor desal exploration. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, hearing none. Do we have a consensus of opinion to
recommend? Just one quick comment. The underground water that we have has a lot of problems. And it's not a limitless supply. We only have a certain amount. And what we're looking at is water in the future, the long-term future, when you're looking at desal. We have to... It's funny, but, only on a planet where three-quarters of the surface is water can government bring you shortages of water. I think that we have an excellent opportunity here to make sure that we don't have run out of water after build-out or after. But it's actually true, it may be true, but what is true is that we do have growth.
Another point is that the groundwater that's under Oceano is also the same groundwater that's under all of the other communities.
We just get it first.
Yeah. And the gentleman's agreement, I think I agree
we
with you.
We get saltwater first, too, yeah. if we overuse the groundwater.
The other thing that these projections don't take into account is the possibility of Oceano growing into those areas on the other side of the creek over there. And the day that those may, some, you know, they someday those may be developed.
I have a question for Arnie. The desal study, that's the three entities working together, right? Not just us by ourselves.
Right.
So if we did decide to go with a plant, it would be the three.
Financially, it would almost have to be the three agencies, because you probably would have more volume than you needed for one agency.
Yeah.
And also, you would play a real hard time finding the financial resources on a single alone. I know Morro Bay has one. Catalina Island is totally dependent on desal water. And, the comment about the water runoff... One of my first educations in water conservation was a trip I took years ago to Bermuda, where they have absolutely no water source other than rainwater. And every roof in that country, island country, is built where the roof runs in rivulets to a sloping point which goes into underground cisterns. And the need for water can make man a very resourceful animal, and women too.
I've been to, just got back from Ensenada, Mexico, and their water conservation there is you have a tank above your house, and you get a water delivery during the nighttime, and no water during the day. And so if you use up your tank size during the day, you're out until the next delivery that night.
You just get dusty, huh?
Yeah. And quality is extremely low.
Let's hope we don't have to go there here.
And it's, the question of the night is not desal tonight. It's what we want to do with our available supplies, and to give you some direction on whether or not we feel that leasing it to bring money into the community would be helpful here. If it can be done, to look into it and research it so you could come back and let us know if it's possible. We can keep the water. We're not giving it away. We're not selling it. We're keeping our allocation. And I'm not proposing that we build any more infrastructure to enlarge pipes. I'm thinking maybe somebody at the upper end can get some of that water where maybe we can't. So I would be for researching it further and coming back to us and coming back to the community to let us know the possibilities about leasing this while we have an extremely valuable commodity here.
So how do we handle the situation?
Very short, discrete periods of time that would bring revenue into this community and give only an interim interest in the water to a neighbor community. I don't necessarily oppose that. I would strongly oppose, as you suggested, any permanent sale.
I guess I'm just concerned well, that you lease it for 2 years and then they say I'd sure like to hear a really good, absolutely positively first-class water lawyer tell me that my chances were at least 50%.
One way to protect yourself on that is you give them water for 2 or 3 years at one rate, which is benefits the community. And after 3 years, if they want to renegotiate that water rate, it's about 10 times more than it's ever could be. And then they can either pay that or they can say, here's your water back. And that would protect us in a way.
That's an interesting suggestion.
The thing that concerns me is if you're gonna lease them some water, okay, and they're gonna develop their building and their conservation methods are gonna go according to the water that they have access to, and what's gonna happen? I mean, it's gonna be very difficult to give them water for a period of time, 5 years, 10 years, and then say, okay, well, now we need it for our development, and they've already got development that is already using it and has to have it, and they don't have, how are you going to pull that water away from a community? That's going to be very difficult to do, and it needs to be tied somehow directly to a mandatory development of a new water source. And we can put an expected timeline on that where the water can be a certain, rate. And I think it's important that rate increase, and it increases time goes on to make it extremely financially important for that new water source to be developed, so that the district is either pulling in eventually the money necessary to develop new water source in case something should go bad, or that they're financially have tremendous financial interests to make sure that that additional water sources are developed and in a timely manner.
Well, I think anyone that does this would be looking to developing other sources. I have to go back to the State Water Project because the city of San Luis Obispo County sold their allocation to MWD for years and years and years. Their water allocation went down there until they were ready to receive it. So there are ways to protect yourself while the others...
Is that a fair statement of the consensus that we would consider potential for short-term lease of water rights?
I don't know.
With perhaps a built-in, very geometrically increasing rate and tied to a requirement for new source development in the the leasing entity?
For me to support it, it would need to be those two things, as well as a very extremely thorough legal research to make sure that we are on very strong ground to not lose this water in the long term.
Alex, you're involved in Santa Maria, the water, groundwater basin down there, I'm sure, in some respects. How do you feel about this?
Well, not to split hairs, but you would be technically leasing the water rights or selling the water, because the water that goes through the pipe and has gone to somebody else, it's sold. So when you talk about this concept of leasing, you're talking about leasing the water rights for whatever the period of time is, 2 years or 10 years. Secondly, I do recall the motion that was made by the board some time ago saying that you were never going to sell water. Without putting too fine a point on it, you do need to understand that that resolution that was adopted at that time could be overridden by a board now or at some time in the future. That's not set in stone forever. You want to be careful about overriding policy like that, but you do have the authority to do that. Getting to the substantive issue that I think your question was directed at, you're right. I have been in and out of the groundwater litigation, both on behalf of this district and a number of other clients on both sides of the litigation at various times. And so I'm very familiar with that. But the precise issue here about assuring that you structure this transaction in a fashion so that you minimize the possible risk of someday losing those water rights other than just because of politics, that's beyond my expertise. That's far beyond my expertise. But we all know very competent people in this area, and I don't have any doubt that by putting all of our heads together, we'd be able to get the district to somebody who could give us the technical read on it, and then I would translate it to English.
Is that enough of a consensus for staff? If I could summarize it, it sounds like we would consider very short-term transfers of water by whatever term we might use, with some protections built in, such as steeply increasing rates at the end of the term, requirement for new source development in the recipient, and the legal assurance that we would be able to.
Then goes. I don't know for certain, but there may be some legal prohibitions from the developer side in getting his permits, trying to depend on a temporary water source like that. Mm-hmm. I believe he has to have a permanent water source.
It's called LAFCO.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm talking about state law.
Yeah.
Right. LAFCO is state
law. That's a practical application, Alex. Yes, excuse me, Director Dean. I mean, Donald.
Oh, I was just saying, I don't know if he's, you know, I mean, he has other options for looking at other water sources, too. He doesn't, he can.
I'm not sure that that's truly our concern. I think our concern should be if we can figure out a way to work cooperatively with our local agencies adjacent to us, and those two only include contiguous ones with our boundaries, to work a way to temporarily provide them some water through lease, assuredly coming back to us. That's the only thing that I would suggest that you, at this point, are telling me that you're interested in doing. This helps me immensely, because when my phone rings, now I know what to say. No, I can't talk to you. I'm sorry. Go away. Talk to somebody else. Or if, you know, I can tell the city manager in Arroyo Grande or his attorney, yes, we can have discussions, but they're going to be tough and tight. If you don't believe me, watch the tape of the board meeting.
Right. Is that a fair statement of consensus?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
The I'll save my other comments. I'll talk to you later. It's not important for the board meeting.
Thank you. I know that that was not necessarily easy, but I appreciate you going through the exercise.
Thank you for the report and the good information. Item 9, administrative items. 9A, discussion regarding the interview process for candidates for the permanent position of general manager. And we have...
Yes, President Hill, members of the board, we had such a wonderful time last week, the last meeting when we put this all together, and the fact that you guys all agreed immediately with the proposed dates I had, and now here I am back proposing a change. A couple of reasons, one of the most important being that once I looked at it and set it out on a schedule and tried to kind of do a timeline on it, I realized that we were actually setting the date of the interviews so that whoever we call, we're going to be calling them just a week after we had decided who they were, and it might preclude someone from coming to the interview process. So I would suggest we move the last part of the interview process backwards 1 week, leaving the first date for the review of the applications at June 12th at 5:30, like we said, but moving the interview of the candidates by the professional committee to Thursday, June 28th, the evening event with the candidates to that night, and during the work day on Friday, interview the candidates, the final candidates selected in the first process. Just simply moving things back, 12th and 28th, how many you want to talk to.
I'm okay with all those dates. We've talked about it at Personnel Committee.
Everybody else okay? And Director Mann, if we can, we'll certainly work towards the afternoon. Work all night, as far as I'm concerned, doesn't bother me.
Okay. Personally, I'm okay with all
Thank
of these.
Thank you for being easy on
with,
this.
With all these dates and times, but I'm also sensitive to other directors may need work time off.
Those people like to get paid that work for me, you know.
I'll come over and help you write the checks, Barbara. Thank you.
Okay, is there any public comment on this item? Okay, hearing none. I guess the consensus then is that these dates are
Thank you.
Acceptable.
I will. What I'll do now is the candidates that have submitted applications, I'll write them a letter now and tell them what these dates are so they can start putting it all together and so we give them as much advance notice as we possibly can.
Okay, item 9B, a proposed travel policy.
Yes, President Hill and Board of Directors, this was written after a review of the legislation, Assembly Bill 1234, and also in conjunction with a review of the travel policies developed by the two neighboring cities, Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande. After I had put it out in the agenda format, I thought, oops, I need to run this by the legal counsel. So I did, and Alex has written back with all kinds of red lines telling me that I was actually using too many words of permission rather than words of requirement. I don't know if that's the best way of saying it, but what he said is the state law says shall in many instances where I said may. And so we need to go back and revise this and get it back to you. And I know it's a sensitive issue, and I know people have some questions and some discussion about it. But I would like to recommend that it come back to you at the next board meeting.
Okay. I proposed a revision to our policies, being aware that the state law had changed at the beginning of the year. And I know there's a lot of requirements and so forth in there that
some of it we have very little control over now, and just what has to be in there. And
I had a question. Are there any reporting requirements associated with this law about travel policies?
There are.
Okay.
Reporting, particularly reporting in the sense that...
To the state if, or something?
Well, not so much that, but if you go to a conference,
yeah,
you shall come back and give a report to the board.
Okay. But yeah, not a reporting thing to the state, where we would be having to do a report to the state.
The only thing that the state could do is to see that we're in compliance by having a policy...
Community services.
To make sure I don't get too namby-pamby and mess it up.
Okay.
Could I ask you to provide it, Alex?
I will send you a PDF file tomorrow of the appropriate sections.
Okay, and we will get it out to you in one of the weekly reports.
It'll be much easier reading than seeing the assembly bill.
If that's acceptable. Yeah.
Okay, and that'll be the after the changes the bill has imposed.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Another thing I'd like to see, and maybe I would think it would make budgeting easier, would be a tracking report on the directors and how much they're spending, and maybe have a cap or something like that, just because we have to work within a budget, just like everybody else does. And I'd like to see that in the travel pay policy that we are working with that.
Well, when you're new, you would be expected to spend much more because you need more education than somebody who's gone to all these classes.
You still want to keep the these within the budget, I would think. You can spread them over time, and I don't want to,
The tracking policy would be easy to do, but part of the requirements is you shall stay within the budget. That's part of the law. So, and it requires, to request monies, request the authority to travel. So we're trying to comply with the law. Some of it may make you feel uncomfortable, and you may not like it because it's not as easy as it used to be. But
I believe I've read in the government code that expenses that exceed a certain amount have to be reported to the state.
Yeah, I couldn't answer that.
I could be mistaken, but I believe that's what I read.
I don't remember that off the top of my head.
And I'm working within a system where I have to ask for training and be allowed for the training. So it is not, it's something that can be done.
Okay. The main thing is tonight would request that it be continued to the next board meeting.
Okay. So it is continued. It'll come back. We're taking no action tonight. We're just tabling it to a subsequent meeting. Okay, it brings us to item 10, report of district representatives. I attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting on May 16th. Three basic things came out of that. District is looking at a review of their preliminary budget projections for next year. They gave us a current financial statement, which is in good shape, and they're concerned about what they call the fixed film reactor, which is the device that has the big arms on it that turns around. The bearing on that is failing. It takes approximately 4 days to repair. That device would be offline, and they're concerned that would leave them at a potential violation standpoint, and they're trying to negotiate where they are in terms of making a necessary repair and avoiding a violation if at all possible.
Okay.
So that is the report from the San District meeting, personnel meeting. I was unable to attend Zone 3. Also, I was unable to attend. I thought I would be able to get there until the last minute, and it turned out I could not. So I did not attend either of the other meetings.
Did the alternate make it?
I don't know.
I did not make it.
The Zone 3 meeting, there was no quorum. Operations Supervisor Davis was there, and they heard reports from about five county staff members, but there was no quorum. There was only, I think, two people showed up.
Two board members. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that
Alrighty.
Brings us to Bill.
Well, we are our fire department is up to 325 calls as of last night, plus we had one call when we came in here, so that's 326. And I think we had one or two during the course of today for the fire engines a few times. one of our fire engines was sent down to Griffith Park fire, three engines from our county went down there. We had four people went engine to Atascadero for a wildfire exercise, and this pretty much was our part-time employees. Possible increase in the dispatching contract with the Grover Beach. Apparently our dispatch per call currently is about a third less than what the potential increase may be, which is $28 per call. And we had some discussions about that, and we're going to have to look into that a little bit more to see if it's how the calls are being monitored and how they're put in. That's the fire department. And then I attended Sacramento. I went up to the Special District Legislative Days. Very educational. This year, it was a lot of talk about our environment, and I would have to say that this is the first time I have really paid close attention to environmental issues, the green things happening out there, and everyone that spoke just about talked about something dealing with the environment. We had a great speaker. He's the state controller, John Chang, I believe he's Chang, and very, very good guy. He talked one thing about losing 300 staff members, and they're short on staff. He talked about green space, PERS, post-retirement eligibility, and that's affecting our state right now, and it's affecting our community here, and our national obligation, $148 billion budget oversight. Ralph Helm was there again this year, and Ralph is an outstanding speaker. Talked in the Capitol, one of the things happening is the term limits. And term limits to 12 years limits. That's something we have never looked at here on this board, and something I think, you know, possibly we might want to look at 1.8 inches is what her report was. That's her report. I don't know if it's true, but it's caught my ear a little bit. One of the concerns, and I think I spoke about this last year up there, is the Sacramento deltas and the riverways, and they're looking to getting money to fix their levee banks up there. And I kind of got the sense that, you know, they got interest there, but when it comes down here to Oceana and our Zone 11A, it's not as important as theirs, and found that interesting, and hopefully they pay some attention down here. That's it.
Okay. Vern?
I attended the Airport Land Use Commission meeting on Wednesday, May 16th, and several things on the agenda. In the city of San Luis Obispo, they're doing a redevelopment plan. They're not creating a new redevelopment district because they've got the monies to do this with from a Caltrans grant. It's about 135 acres. It's the county that's doing this, and it had to come before the Airport Land Use Commission because it's inside the airport airport area. It's 135 acres. It's going to be on the east side of Broad Street, between Broad and the railroad tracks, north of Orchid. They'll be starting public hearings on this next month. There's a new airport hotel that has been requested to get approved to come in next to the airport. And it's on approximately 4.7 acres. And this was approved with a 6-1 vote under their exception in their airport land use plan. And what else? The Oceano airport land use plan for the Oceano Airport was approved at the last meeting with 7-0 vote, and this has been something that they've been working on for over a year now, and it was approved. There was all the problems seemed to have been worked out with the community, and there were during the times that it was being worked out, there were quite a few people from the community would be in there on these meetings, and for the final approval, there were no community members in there because it seemed to have been worked out. That's pretty much all that's affected our area. There was something with the Paso Robles Airport. The appointment that was open and available had only one person that put in to fill that appointment, which was a person that was already on there. And so Terry Orton was reappointed for another four-year term. The next meeting for them will be June 20th at 1:30 p.m., and it's held at the Board of Supervisors Chambers in the County Government Center at 1055 Monterey Street, room D-170. That's it for the Airport Land Use Commission. It's actually on 22nd Street, south of Highway 1 in the first block there on the west side of 22nd. And how they're putting in some of these cell sites now is they actually are disguising them in the form of a flag. So they put up a big flagpole with an American flag at the top of it, and the flagpole itself is a cell site inside there. And there were some questions on that, and so that was held over for our June calendar, so it'll come back up on the June calendar. Then there was a request for a waiver for a fence off of Christmas Tree Lane, and what it was it's a 6-foot fence, but it was set up on a brick wall, and therefore it went over the height maximum, and the council supported the waiver for that. There was a request for a waiver at 22nd and Beach for curbs, gutters, and sidewalks, and the council denied the request for the waiver there, did not support the waiver on that one. The there was a boardwalk at Oso Flaco that was talked about, and there were questions and some problems with some of the paperwork that was filed on it. And so that was held over and will be on the June calendar as well. I had an update on the Old Juan's parking lot, and then there were requests for new membership, and we have a new member on the board. His name is Shane Hernandez, and that's pretty much everything that happened at the meeting.
Okay. Director Dean.
Personnel committee, we've kind of already covered that, so Arnie did a good job for me there. The Zone 11A was yesterday. I was not available for that meeting. However, I am on the Zone 11A Task Force Grant Subcommittee, so I can speak to your issue about grants under the Bond Act, and we will be looking for a flood corridor protection program. There are grants available this year and next year, so we're thinking next year will work. We are contacting the person in Water Resources who is handling that so we can find out exactly what kinds of projects they would be funding. So that is one. The other one that we're looking at is Urban Streams Restoration Program. So we're looking at a couple, plus there are many, many others. So when you get into this grant funding, it looks like we have a good kind of scoping technical report, so we can work off of these things, but we will be talking with the people in Water Resources about the bond money and how best to fit to get a grant for what we need to do in Zone 11A. The other The other part of the Zone 11A that I attend is the task force, so I can tell you what happened there. We are at the point where we is heading this up. We know that we need an environmental impact report. We need a CEQA document. We need a NEPA document. We need a coastal permit. So we know we need all of those kinds of things. We want to know how they would put this together. And so the task force sent that forward to be talked about at the meeting. The other thing is we talked about the budget, which kind of budgeted itself, mainly because we have an annual operation and maintenance for cleaning the creek, vegetation maintenance, and so forth. And that runs a good half of what we get per year. So that runs $231,000. Our total estimated budget is $537,000. We've got the long-term maintenance plan, our environmental costs coming in. We do have structures and things like that we want to put in. The thing about, there's one thing that came up also about gates on the levees. There used to be old gates on the levees. And we're looking at, because of the cost of brand new gates, heavy duty ones, we're looking at costs for retrofitting the old gates that are out there and coming back to the Zone 11A advisory people and seeing what will work best for us. So that's kind of what's been happening with the Zone 11A. We're actually proceeding with getting the environmental documents done and working forward with that. It's going to take time, and it's going to take money to do that. The other thing that both Barbara and I attended was the Smart Growth, and that was on Saturday. And when you talked about everybody talking about green, Bill, we're talking about green. And we're looking at actually global warming, energy uses. We're looking at urban sprawl and what it's done to our communities. We don't have a community. So the idea for this is to have a compact community, compact design, density, within 5 minutes walking distance for everyone to all the services. So we're talking an urban village type of system where everybody walks, bicycles, has alternative transit. It's a good idea. It's the new thing that everybody's looking at, and we're thinking it's a healthier, kinder way to live, and they do have certain principles that I don't know if Barbara's going to talk about those. Do you want to talk about the principles of smart growth?
Just go ahead and you talk, and then I'll add my 2 cents.
Okay. Their principles are mixed land uses, taking advantage of compact building designs, and you'll be able to see some of these. I'll show you some of these pictures. Creating a range of housing opportunities and choices, creating walkable neighborhoods, fostering distinctive, attractive communities, preserving open space, strengthening and directing development towards existing communities.
The only place somebody asked me about was Pier Avenue and about their theory of stackable, two-story, three-story, whatever. But I don't think those people have ever heard of the Airport Land Use Commission to understand that we can't do that on Pier Avenue. The idea of being able to walk to all your services in 5 minutes, that sounds great, I think, if you're building a new community. But for an existing community, who are you going to move to put a service into the spot that they're in? I couldn't understand that they just didn't, on the little game we played of pushing the buttons of which answer we like best, I thought they should have divided up to into an existing community and a community of the future, because your choices are totally different, I believe. I mean, you know, affordable transportation every place is a good idea. But again, this walking to services 5 minutes, you could walk over here in 5 minutes. This is the only services we have, really. We don't have a drugstore. We don't have a shoemaker. We don't have a pharmacy in this town and or in this community, and I don't think we're going to. So those things I kind of thought weren't applicable to Oceana. I thought Napomo and the places that are going and looking to becoming cities, it was very good for them. And, of course, water came up. If you don't have water, you can't do anything. That was another big thing. It went from 9 o'clock in the morning until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Three of the supervisors were there. They're going to hold the same conference in North County in 2 weeks. I think this is about the third or fourth one of these I've been to. And it's usually the same, pretty much the same thing each time. But I was glad I went, and I went, of course, as a LAFCO representative as opposed to an Oceano representative. And that was my Saturday.
Okay, comments or questions from other board members?
I have a question of Vern.
Okay.
Yes.
On the airport, it was the Airport Land Use Commission that you went to, right?
Yes.
And they said, okay, we can build a hotel in San Luis by the airport, right?
Correct.
How many stories is that?
You know, I don't know, but it's
I think it's
up there. I mean,
yeah.
It's not ground level, I don't believe.
Okay.
But it's not not the skyscraper.
But there. It's more than two stories. It's at least four stories, I believe. And then in Oceano, Airport Land Use Commission says, you can't put a second story on Pier Avenue. I don't understand their thinking. But that's okay. I just wanted to make that.
And I can tell you what it was if you're interested.
Yeah.
They have one section in the airport land use code that allows them to make exceptions if the service that is being provided by the development is something that is a betterment to the airport or the development when it was there. But it was close.
They can make an exception when it benefits the airport, but not when it benefits the community.
Yeah, that was, the community could certainly use
that was the
development on Pier Avenue. That was in our specific plan.
Yep.
But it didn't benefit the airport. Okay. So that's why it didn't get approved.
That's the, that is correct.
Thank you, indeed. I had the same question.
I think for all future development here in Oceano down on Pier Avenue, we ought to have wind socks up on top of the houses. That should help the airport.
Great idea. Pamela asked about or mentioned Zone 1-1A looking at grants. I would hope that the district could endorse the applications when it comes to that point. Are there any comments from the public on director's reports? Mark?
Yes, I do. Mark Wampler. Two items, fire report and also the advisory council. I'm looking at a report, an inspection report from our fire department addressed to the Well Four Square Church located on 1101 Pike Lane B. There are five items here that are listed, among them posting of room capacity. Any room having occupant load of 50 or more, etc., shall have capacity of the room posted. Plan of exit ways, aisles when required by the chief. A plan indicating seating arrangements, location, width of the aisles, et cetera, et cetera. And also, this was forwarded to county code enforcement. While the version from the fire department doesn't list these as violations, these did transfer to code enforcement and were cited as violations. Namely, permits required for religious facility. I spoke to the pastor this evening when I saw this, and they've been meeting at this facility for 4 years now. And I do know a couple of the members. My question is why now? These are a group. There's probably several dozen businesses along Pike Lane there in that complex there. And after 4 years, why am I now seeing this? And I would specifically like you, sir, Mr. Hill, to ask Chief Steinhauser what initiated this report, and why was this? Why did this happen? What's going on with this? After 4 years, they admit, and now we have a violation. They are required to move out of that facility sometime in mid-June after being there for 4 years. I want to know what's going on with this.
We can refer that to the fire committee, or unless there's a ready explanation tonight, I don't know.
I believe the people of this little fellowship need an explanation. And as I talked with them, they said, well, you just don't know why this happened. Maybe someone complained. If someone complained, I'd be kind of interested to know who complained. Why would anybody complain about a fellowship?
Mark, I kind of asked about that last night when we looked at it. I think the big holdup is the county and the thing about annual inspections of commercial facilities, and I believe that that's in a commercial zone, is it not?
Well, yes, it is.
Yeah, so it that's is. Probably how the fire department went in there.
Okay, thank you. Chief Mike, do you have a response to that?
It's we'll get a response, Mark, for your question, but the rules of order are that you have to address questions to the president of the board.
Okay. Would you care to ask Chief Mike about that right now, please?
I will make sure that we get a report to that, and we will answer your question.
Okay. I guess because a lot of these folks, you know, they just love people. They love our community, and they wouldn't stand up here and say anything, but I will. Okay. They, for instance, host a free barbecue every month out here at the park for the public. They do serve the community. They do love our community, and I fully support and defend, you know, any religious group, people of faith that do bring enhancement to our community. So, yeah, I'm going to be very defensive. My second comment has to do with OAC, the denial of the curb gutter and sidewalk waiver. That was my project on 22nd Beach. It's interesting to note that this was visited first in 05 under a different permit. It was approved by the committee at that time. So I'm just it's kind of interesting that the committee has flip-flopped this time, and it's a shame. We've been waiting for over 3 years to move in. Thank you.
On your first item, Mark, I'm sympathetic to your question, but I'm also concerned with public safety and the regulations about fire safety in public assembly halls are there for public safety. And so we'll get an answer. I don't want to hastily reply to something where there's a public safety concern involved. So that's the reason I think we should take time to get a proper response to your question. Any other public comment? Antonia?
Yes. Right now, I was just looking through the packet, you know, because I got the wrong one in the mail. And I was looking at the packet. I didn't have much time to, you know, come up with the answers or anything or the questions that I needed to ask the board, you know, because I have to take a little extra time to read my packet when it gets home. And so therefore right now I didn't get the one from the church over here, you know, that they built something on, and it wasn't approved by the fire department, but it was approved by the county. And I would like you know, for somebody to give me some answers to that. You know, it was hazardous, it says, or something like that. But I would like to have some more answers on that, okay, so that we can know. Because a lot of people has complained that they do get the permit from the county, but then it's the community or, you know, the boards over here that has something to do or something wrong, whatever, and they're hassling too much. So they had time to state what they wanted to say. And they didn't wait it until the end of the meeting, you know, so they could have given their their view of what they're thinking, but one of them says that he has lost at least 5 jobs because of it. Okay. And also, I would like for somebody to look into it. And another thing, another comment, aren't we rich in Oceano? Isn't this little community rich? It's the richest one in the county, I believe, huh? Now they want our water. First our dooms, now the water. Okay? And I would just like to have some answers on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Antonia. Any other public comment?
Just on the warrants.
Okay, we'll get to that. We'll get to that very soon. First of all, seeing that Chief Steinhauser is back, we have a fire item that we postponed for his return. That is item 7A on the agenda, which is length of service resolutions commending members of the District Fire Department. We have 4 resolutions, 2007, 07, 8, 9, and 10. Chief, would you like to address those?
Sure. It's the Board of Directors has determined that it's beneficial to the district as well as to the district's employees to acknowledge mileposts throughout an employee's career. The employees are members of the district's fire department and have all exhibited faithful service to the district and the department and the community. Resolution 2007-07 recognizes Captain James Rodlin on 10 years of effort and dedication. Resolution 2007-8 recognizes driver-operator Graham Dunbar on 5 years of effort and dedication. Resolution 2007-9 recognizes engineer Edward Gallipolt on 5 years of effort and dedication. And Resolution 2007-10 recognizes engineer Glenn Graves on 5 years of effort and dedication. Recommended action before your board is to have a board discussion, public comment, motion, second, roll call vote. Adopt the resolutions 2007-7 through 10, the resolutions of the Board of Directors recognizing James Rodlin, Graham Dunbar, Edward Gallipolt, and Glenn Graves for their years of service to the district.
Thank you, Chief. Comments or questions from the board? Comments or questions from the public? Okay, look for.
I would like to say one thing. These are our heroes of Oceano. They protect us, you know, every day, and they give to us, and really appreciate what they're doing for us.
We very much appreciate their tenure of service. Sir.
Move these. We accept these resolutions.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we adopt OCSD resolutions 2007, 7 through 10, which are resolutions commending James Rodlin, Graham Dunbar, Edward Gallipol, and Glenn Grit.
Barbara?
No.
Pamela?
No.
Bill? I don't.
I just had a couple of items which I'd like to ask staff to address, not necessarily at this meeting, but when they have a moment to do so. An update on the $5,000 potential fine. Also when our audit can be expected. I think that's fairly well overdue, and
those are two related questions.
Two related questions. Good. I hope that's coming before us pretty quickly. And
we'll respond to both of those.
Okay. That's all I had. Brings us to item 13, executive session. Conference with legal counsel regarding real property negotiation. A closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8 to meet with the agency's negotiator concerning the lease of real property and to grant authority regarding the same. The real property involved is a portion of 1687 Front Street, Oceano, California, also known as the Old Fire Station.
The person or persons with whom the agency negotiator may negotiate is the authorized agent for community health centers of the Central Coast. Do you have anything else, Alex?
I couldn't have read it better.
Because he wrote it.
Okay, with that, then
I'm going to recuse myself from this, as that's within 500 feet of my business, Oceana Nursery.
Okay.
And I'm not going because I can't walk all the way back there tonight.
Okay.
Okay.
Perhaps as an alternative, if you wish, we could do the other parts of the business, and then that way we can remain here.
That would be all right.
Thank you.
Okay, the remaining parts of the business then are consideration of warrants.
Mr. President, as we discussed before the meeting, I did not include the list of voided warrants on this packet, and we will catch those up on the next one.
Okay, and I understand there were two such warrants on this.
Yeah, two directors.
Yeah, one was mine.
Right, was voided because.
Yep.
Yeah, it's very helpful, I think, if we have the voided ones as well as the actual ones. Thank you very much for that. Did everyone get to look at the warrants? And okay, do we have a? Are there ones that we need to take specifically?
I don't think Alex is.
Alex didn't get paid this time.
I haven't seen the warrants.
So you're not getting paid.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you don't get
so
money
we can,
tonight.
We can take them in bank then.
I do have a question. In here, it said Mid-State Bank. Is there such thing as a Mid-State Bank today, or is it RoboBank?
It's technically RoboBank at the moment, but they're keeping the Mid-State name for a period of time. But when the stock sold, it became legally Robo. I have a hard time saying that.
They operate Mid-State Bank as a division of RoboBank.
But I understand the name will change.
Okay. That's what we needed. Any other comment or questions or a motion?
Public comment.
Public comment on the warrants, I'm sorry.
Mr. President, I see that there's a drastic reduction in overtime in the fire department where we were running, you know, huge overtime expenses, and Mr. Angelo's answer was, it's budgeted. So I see that there's a drastic, you know, there's no money in the overtime in the fire section. And so has there been a change in staffing or something like that that we should be aware of, or a change something, which led me to remember that that when a personnel contract was extended in the fire department, one of the conditions of the chief's personnel contract is that a policies and procedures manual would be created, and it would be created in 90 days, and that was attached to that contract. So I thought that maybe I'd just take the opportunity to try to ask somebody to follow up on that as well. If you're going to try to follow up stuff, that definitely, you know, you took action on that, and there needs to be some follow-up on it. But I was wondering why it was running us thousands of dollars before, and now the overtime is zero, which is unhappy.
You may have missed, you may have missed page 7, where there is fairly significant, in my view, overtime in the fire department.
Is it a different department? Why would it be in another page?
No, they're on full-time staff, vice the
different payroll.
Oh. It's a different payroll item.
Sorry. We're not doing as good a job as you thought.
Well, as past Director Angelo would say, it's in the budget. So, secondly, I see that we're paying off. Is this the final payment for the past GM? And then under other is $38,600.
Those are deductions.
Which comes out to, I want the public to hear this, $42,000. $43,024.24. Now that's a nice paycheck. So, but the other was too broad of a terminology for me to accept, $38,600. So I was just curious, you know, what other meant. And I'm sure it's like a combination of, you know, maybe sick time, vacation and that, but, and I'm sure I'll be corrected immediately by numerous voices if I'm wrong, but I wasn't so sure that you, that on sick time, after 12 months, you use it or you lose it. And vacation time must be cashed out within 2 years. Otherwise, you're going to end up with big bills like this, you know. Somebody could collect their overtime for 10 years. You know, we don't give people vacations so they can be burned out on the job. We pay them vacations so they'll take them and they won't be burned out on the job. And so when you allow somebody to accumulate this amount of sick time and vacation time, it defeats the purpose of a vacation. Oh, maybe I had a few other ones in here. Yes, Mid-State Bank. What are we paying Mid-State Bank $17,428.25 for?
Probably payroll taxes.
Let's just make sure it's...
What page is that on?
It would be on page 7. Oh, I take that back. No, page 7.
That's what it is. It's
no,
our,
8.
It's our required quarterly payments.
It's, pardon me?
We have to pay each time there's a payroll, so it's biweekly. It's payroll taxes.
Payroll taxes in the amount of $17,000 a month?
No. You mentioned one large check, and that is a big chunk of it.
So why would it be under Mid-State and not, say, you know, of California, federal?
It's done through an automatic clearinghouse using Mid-State as the vehicle to pay the IRS.
Okay. So they're the fiscal agent.
It's like an impound account, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. And does that service cost us versus cutting them a check and sending it?
No, they won't take your check.
Only take mine.
Well, I'm sure it's not
okay.
Dollar.
Okay, very good. Thank you for your answers, all of you.
Other public comment on the warrants? Antonia.
Antonia Maldonado Oceano. And I also was very angry, let me put it that way. I might go to anger management from here. Because of that large fact, Mr. Cooney. When you resign from any job, you get paid for that, but you do not claim any more money after that for whatever, because it was his choice to resign, even though he was pressured for it. But it was his choice. It wasn't that this or that. No, it was his choice. So why should we pay him? Why should all that money that could have been used for another thing around here, for our fire department? Yes, I am very proud of them, and I salute all of them, including my police force also. But I don't see why we should be paying a man that resigned and then comes back and collect vacation time and payment. I can go and resign and, hey, you have to pay me. I don't think that's fair, and I don't think it's right. So we better start putting just, you know, not what they put in front.
Over a long period, it would have worked out very similarly.
And just to add something to that, even if it had not been a negotiated settlement, if Mr. Cooney had just walked in and tendered his resignation under the California Labor Code, you would have owed him all of his accrued vacation and sick leave.
Mm-hmm. Right, because he earned it.
It's by statute. We had no choice.
That was more like a payment of what work he did. And I don't think that was fair because I work in a lot of labor things and all that. And if I decided to quit or resign, I only got that pay for that week. I did not collect my vacation. I did not collect anything because it was my choice. Thank you.
I think you left some rights on the table under the California Labor Code.
Well, maybe that's new around here because it wasn't new in my time.
Thank you. Other public comment? Okay. Hearing none, any other board discussion? Or a motion?
I move we pay the bills.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Director Mann and seconded by Director Dahl to pay the warrants. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously. And that again would take us to the closed session. Is there, first of all, is there any written communication?
No, actually, I think, sir, you need to actually have public comment as a public comment item. Not that was public comment.
Public
on
comment
the warrants.
On the warrant. Thank you. Is there general public comment at this time?
I knew there would be.
I've missed a few sessions, so I've got to put my time in. You know, I did not attend our goal-setting session. I regret not attending that now. And one of the items that was briefly brought up, I understand, was the renovation of this board meeting room. And that had been much discussion a few months back, and talking about choosing colors and window coverings and all this. And this, for some reason, that kind of died on the vine. You know, I'd like to reinstate that idea. I would like to see this room. You go over to other board meeting rooms, they're like Napomo. I'll brag on them. I like going over to Napomo. They got a nice board meeting room. There was talk about taking the Oceano logo, the district logo, and making a plaque, put it in center front, and, you know, all this talk. So what happened? You know, did that just kind of go away? Or we got amnesia and we're supposed to forget about it? I'd like to reintroduce that. Let's talk about it more. You know, maybe it'll give people a reason to show up here. You know, if it looks nice on camera, they see a nice board meeting room. I mean, this has been the same since, what, mid-80s, I'm guessing, something like that. It's not changed one iota all that time. And secondly, I'm very impressed with Napomo's stance on their new graffiti abatement program. They are moving forward with an ordinance. And, you know, what's the difference between Napomo and us? Oh, they're a special district like this district is. They didn't say we don't have money. They just said, well, if there's no money, let's look at it. Let's see what we can do to find some funding. And guess what? That doesn't take anything but just sending out notices. There's not a whole lot of expense in sending out notices. Is there a lot of staff time doing that? Not much. Go over here to the Sheriff's Department. Get their reports. Process those reports. Send out notices. Hey, we've got an ordinance that says we'd like to have, you know, this damage taken care of. You know, it's a matter of willpower. Do we care about our community? Let's put an ordinance in place, raise the standard. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Mark. Any other public comment? Okay, hearing none. Then I would ask if there's any written communication.
No, sir.
Okay. Brings us then to our closed session item. And we've already discussed what that is. Conference regarding real property negotiation, and we can take that up
when we come back.
Send everybody out of the room. Richard?
No.
No.
Close
session. We're moving to closed session.
Jim, I think you want to turn on your mic.
There you go.
Okay, we've concluded our closed session, so we'll have a report from District Council.
Yes, with regard to item 13A, a conference with legal counsel regarding real property negotiations, the board received a report from legal counsel and staff and had a discussion regarding the matter. No action was taken.
Okay, thank you. That concluding the business for the evening.
We don't need to stay till 10 o'clock every time.
We are adjourned.
We should have gone home at 8. We were done.